The Chosen Fast, Part 3. We are still in our 21-day fast. Fasting, praying, and doing evangelism. Expecting revival and a great awakening in Paoli, Philadelphia, in our own lives, and throughout the United States. Keep praying, keep fasting. The Lord's given many of us opportunities while we're going through this. I believe even opening up the chance for me to do Irene's funeral and share with all of her Catholic family was a result of fasting and praying and our heart to see souls saved. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time of praying and fasting and evangelism. Thank you for all the opportunities that you're giving us to witness and share. Thank you for the time that we've been able to spend learning about your chosen fast. And we want to learn even more details of how to accomplish your chosen fast and what you want us to do. How is it that you want us to minister to people? How are we supposed to feed people physically and the physically hungry and the spiritually hungry? But you show us clearly in your word, and we're going to learn that today. So Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, guide us, prepare all our hearts and minds, and may we receive your word. May the word get planted deep. May we cover it all in the blood, and may it bring forth fruit for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, today is Communion Sunday. We'll be receiving the body and the blood of the Lord, which you'll see why this message that I'm going to preach on John chapter 6, along with Isaiah 58 and communion, all really flows together. And no, it wasn't my idea. It was definitely the Holy Spirit's, and I was really excited when the Holy Spirit gave it to me. So I've been waiting to do this one. But as we talked about in the previous messages, the type of fast that our Father prefers is clearly explained for us in Isaiah 58. This is what he says. The kind of fasting I want is this. I want you to remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice. Let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. Nancy Pelosi, you hear that? No, just kidding. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Then my favor will shine on you like the morning sun. Your wounds will be quickly healed. I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. When you pray, I'll answer you. When you call to me, I will respond. If you put an end to oppression, to every gesture of contempt, and to every evil word, here it is, if you give to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, physically and spiritually, we're talking about, then the darkness around you will turn to the brightness of noon. And I will always guide you and satisfy you with good things. I will keep you strong and well. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring of water that never goes dry. Your people will rebuild what has been long been in ruins, building again on the old foundations, which we know is Christ. You will be known as the people who rebuilt the walls, who restored the ruined houses or the ruined cities. So he tells us, if you give food to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, is the part I really want us to focus on today, the verse that I really want us to focus on. This verse obviously talks about satisfying the physical hunger of people, but it's also talking about their spiritual hunger and their spiritual needs. So I was asking myself, well, what are we supposed to feed them? How are we supposed to feed them? What's a good thing to teach them about and feed them? And then the Holy Spirit led me to John chapter 6, where Jesus literally feeds the people and the disciples and those following him physical food and spiritual food, teaches them about spiritual food. So we're going to follow Jesus' example and see what he has to teach us about how to meet the needs of people, their physical hunger and their spiritual hunger. John chapter 6. As you know, this is the chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000. With what? Two loaves and five fish. Or five loaves, I'm sorry, barley bread and two fish. Peter gets them from a young boy. This young boy is willing to give all that he has. It wasn't very much, but it's all the Lord needed to perform the miracle that he did. So we know Jesus cared about feeding them with their physical hunger, right? Isn't that what he did here? Yeah. But it says Jesus had to leave because the people were going to grab him and make him their king. Hey, they really liked Jesus. This guy can turn five loaves of bread and two fish into enough food to feed 5,000. Let's make this guy our king. Let's grab him, make him our king real quick. Not a bad idea, right? Now, Jesus knew it wasn't his time, and that's not what Jesus came for, so Jesus left. Says he goes up to a mountain, right? But then he doesn't come back for a long time. So his disciples, I guess, doesn't really tell us, but I'm assuming they just get tired of waiting for him. And they get in a boat. They decide they're going to get in this boat and head over to Capernaum, right? Well, what happens? Remember the story? They get out there on the lake. The storm brews up. And it says they're rowing, they're struggling for hours. They're getting nowhere, right? And Jesus comes walking on the water. They're afraid. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." I love this part. It says he gets into the boat, and what does it say? As soon as he steps into the boat, immediately they were at where they were supposed to be. Did you ever catch that? There's a great lessons and a whole lot of great teaching about faith in there. But we're not going to focus on that today. We're going to move on because we want to see how Jesus taught about feeding people. We just saw him feed them physically, but now we want to see what does he say we're supposed to feed them spiritually. So start in verse 22, John 6, verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, except that the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread, for the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So Jesus isn't saying it's not important to feed them physically, but what's he telling them? The only reason you don't really care about the spiritual, you just care about the material blessings that I can give you. And that's the only reason that you're following me. Unfortunately, that happens still in the churches nowadays. People only follow Jesus for what they can, because they think they're going to get material blessings from him. Some people even try to get people to come to Jesus promising material blessings, and that is a wrong way to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not that he doesn't do that, but that's not the reason you want people to come to Jesus. Actually, Thomas and I were talking about it one day. I don't remember how we got on the conversation. He said to me, "How are we going to get people to come to church if we don't tell them that?" Something like that. Remember that? And I said, "Well, if that's the only reason they're coming to church, they're coming for the wrong reason, and they're not going to stay when they don't get what they want. They're going to think somebody lied to them, and they're going to take off, and they probably aren't going to come back at all ever again. They're going to say, 'Look, these people promised me Jesus would give me all these things. All I got was trials, tribulations, and troubles. That person lied to me. I don't want the church, I don't want them, and I don't want to ever hear about Jesus again.'" That's how a lot of people get turned off to Jesus. But when you present them with the true gospel, when you let them know how much he loved them and what he did for them because to deliver them from the penalty and power of sin, and they accept Jesus for that reason, they get born again, filled with the Spirit, become a child of God, then all the blessings we know then begin to flow and are available to them, even though it's not guaranteed, because Jesus did promise blessings, but he also promised trials, tribulations, and all those, persecution. part of being a follower of Jesus. Verse 27, he tells them, this is what he tells them right now. Look, physical food's good, but you got to hunger for spiritual food. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man can give you, will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then he said to them, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him. Believe in him whom he sent. So the people, Jesus tells them that they need to seek food which endures to an everlasting life. They turn around and ask him, well, what do we need to do to work the works of God? Which is the deception that the devil still uses on many people. They're asking them, how can we work our way to God? Works, works, what do we need to do? And everybody that we talk to in the streets, 90% of them, even if they sit in church every week, doesn't matter if it's a Catholic church or a Baptist church or a Mennonite church, many of them still believe they're getting into, that they're saved and they're getting into the kingdom of God by works because of what they're doing, because they go to church, because they pray, because they've been good people. It's the same old song and dance ever since creation. It's the same lie that the devil has used from the beginning, and he still uses it. And that's what people think, that that's how they get at the service, at Irene's service. We were talking to a friend of Mary's from a long time ago. He said, this lady's been trying to get me saved forever. And he started sharing, and they started going back and forth. And he thought that, well, I've been good. And if I haven't, he said, if I haven't been good enough, well, my friends have been good enough, and I'll get in on their coattails. That's the way they think. And but Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. In other words, you've got to believe in me. Let's go on. Verse 30. Therefore they said to him, well, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat, talking about Moses. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, well, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am. He uses an I am statement there. I love that. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That is pretty awesome, isn't it? But I said to you that you have... But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, praise God, I will by no means cast out. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. All right. I'm not going to sing. Tempted, but I'm not going to. I'll spare you. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep going here. I want to read just through the whole thing because it's so good. Verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I've come down from heaven? The nerve of Jesus, right? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Did you hear that? The Lord gave that to me, and I actually included that in the prayer for the family when I was doing Irene's funeral. The Lord said, put that part in the funeral. Because all we can do is share. As we share and teach people, you know, the Father is the one really teaching them. He's the one who really draws them and brings them to Jesus. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. And this, I love when he says, therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. When we came to Jesus, it's because Father God loved us so much. He was teaching us, speaking to us. We were learning from him. I don't know about you, but that to me, that just shows me how much he loves me. And that is so awesome to know that he loved each one of us so much that he spoke to each one of us individually and drew us to Jesus and shared with us the truth about his son. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Do you think Jesus wants us to get the point that we have everlasting life and eternal life with him? How many times? He must have said it 10 times already. He wants them to know, and he wants us to know it. And remember, he's not just speaking to the disciple. He's speaking to a huge crowd of people. I am the bread of life. He says it again. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So are you getting a picture of what we're supposed to feed those who are spiritually hungry? We're supposed to tell them about the gospel, what Jesus did. We're supposed to feed them on Jesus. Feed them Jesus. Feed them the body and blood of Jesus. Make sure they understand about the body and blood of Jesus and what he did for us on that cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 52. The Jews, of course, therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Listen to this. This is from the, I think, a more modern version, maybe the Living Bible says, for my flesh is real food. I think King James says meat. For my flesh is real food, and my body is real drink. So there's your answer. That's what we're supposed to feed them. That's the real food, spiritual food. It's Jesus. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught them in Capernaum. Hallelujah. So we can learn from Jesus what Jesus taught us here. We're to feed the physically and spiritually hungry through whatever means we have to offer to him. And remember, just like the little boy, he only had what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. You may not think what you have to offer him is very much, or it can even do anything. But we can give God just a very little. Give him whatever we have, just like that little boy did, right? And he can feed the physically hungry. I mean, we could just give $10 to Jesus, and he could turn that $10 into $10 million to feed them. You know, never think that that what you're going to give isn't going to matter to Jesus, because it does. Amen? Because he'll take it, break it, and multiply it, miraculously multiply it to feed multitudes of people in the physical or the spiritual realm. That applies in both areas, our giving. But when it comes to the type of food that we're to feed the spiritually hungry, there's only one food and drink that can satisfy their hunger and thirst. What are they? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." And then he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is the real spiritual food, and my blood is the real spiritual drink," you could put in there. So we must teach them about what he did for us to save us from the power and penalty of our sins through his body and blood, and to proclaim it with us by receiving communion until he comes again to take us home. So as people get saved, born again, because we're sharing the gospel with them, we're sharing how powerful Jesus' body and blood is and what he did on the cross for us. They get born again. They get filled with the Spirit. Then they, too, will learn how important it is to be baptized and to receive communion, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. And as every time that they take the Lord's Supper with us or with the body of Christ, it says this, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:26. This is why it's so important that we receive communion together. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So literally every time we receive communion together, we receive the body and the blood of Jesus together, we are making a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and take communion. Have the ushers pass out the body and the blood. How important is it for us to feed the spiritually hungry and the physically hungry? This is another thing that the Lord gave me to add to this. Remember when Jesus reinstated Peter in John 21, they were out fishing, and they all saw Jesus. They saw someone on the beach, right? And they finally figured out it was Jesus. Well, Peter jumps out of the boat, swims up to him, and they go and they eat fish with him there. Remember that? This was when he's going to reinstate Peter. So how important is it to Jesus that we feed his sheep? Remember what he asked Peter? I'm going to ask Word of Victory Church. Word of Victory Church, Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" What do we say to him? "Yes, Lord, you know that we love you." And what does he say to us? "Feed my lambs." First he says lambs. So rather they're little baby Christians or never Christians that have never been born or people that have never been born again or wherever they're at, but especially... Go ahead. We're to feed his lambs. He says to us a second time, "Word of Victory Church, do you love me?" We say to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that we love you." He says to us, "Tend my sheep." A third time, he says to us a third time, "Word of Victory Church, do you love me?" We say to him, "Yes, Lord." This time Peter adds, "You know all things and that we love you." Then he says to us, "Feed my sheep." That's how important it is to Jesus. So what do we take from that? Do we really love him? If we really love him, not only will we feed the sheep among us and tend to each other, but especially those who don't know him. The lost sheep, right? That's the ones that he wants us to go to. And if we love him, and then at the rest of this is when he told Peter, look, when you were young, you kind of went and did your own thing. But when you get older, people are going to lead you where you don't want to go. He was telling, and he says, he was telling Peter, you're going to die for me. That's what he was telling him. Well, may not be the case with us, but it's the same thing. As we grow and mature and get older in the Lord, when we first get saved, we kind of just have a good time. We do our own thing, and we praise the Lord, and we just get filled up with the Lord, right? And all his blessings, and learn about him. But as we get older and mature, we have to focus on really doing the things where he leads us. What does his heart really want us to do? And that's why we're fasting and praying, to get God's heart for the lost sheep, so that we can demonstrate our love for him by being obedient and doing what he's called us all to do. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, I received of the Lord that which I delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, think about that. Even on the night in which Judas betrayed him, he took the bread. Aren't you glad he didn't give up when Judas betrayed him? Say, enough with these people. I'm done with it. I'm not going through with it. Praise God, he would never do that because he loves us so much. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. When we receive the body of the Lord together, we know all that he took upon his body. From Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood, to the beatings on the way to the trial, the beatings at the trial, then the scourging with the cat of nine tails. The punishment that he took was our punishment, but he did it for our peace. By his stripes, he bore all those stripes. Why? So that we could be healed. First, spiritually, but that also applies physically. Never just apply it to physically. It's important, but the main thing is the spiritual healing, because sin is such a sick disease, and so terrible that it destroys every area of your life. But he had the only way he could get rid of it so we could have peace with God was by bearing all that punishment in his body, and by his stripes we are healed. So we thank you, Lord, for your body. Let's receive the body of the Lord together. And we know also that his body is a representation of the veil that was torn. His body had to literally be torn open, like that veil was torn from top to bottom, so that we could have access into the Holy of Holies, to be able to get into the presence of God. But even though the veil was torn open, the door was wide open, you still better not walk into that Holy of Holies without the blood. Right? The high priest could not even go in there without the blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat, because it's the blood that gives us forgiveness of sins and takes away our sins. It's his blood, his life blood. His life is in the blood. It's his. Not only does it take away our sin, but his blood gives us life. He gave his life's blood for us so that we could have his life's blood in us. The life of his blood. His eternal life. That's all he kept saying through John chapter 6. Look, when you eat my body, and you drink my blood, and you believe who I am over and over and over again, you have eternal life. You have everlasting life. No one will ever take you. I'll never cast you out. No one will ever take you away from me. Hallelujah. And when he had given thanks, or after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, Praise God, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Not only does it give us forgiveness of sins and give us his life, but it's what he used to seal the new covenant, which is so much greater and better and far exceeding precious more promises than the old covenant. It's so much better. Why? Because now we get the chance to come into the presence of God ourselves, enter into the Holy of Holies, and not only that, not only do we get to go into his presence, but we get to have his presence in us through the Holy Spirit. That's the main difference in the new covenant. Israel could still worship God, fellowship with God, and they could be with God, but they never could obey him. They never had the power in their life to really follow him and live totally righteous lives and be who he wanted them to be. Why? Because they weren't filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have him living in them. We have the Holy Spirit in us now. But still, remember, the only way Jesus could get that covenant fulfilled and signed was with what? The blood of the new covenant. So let's receive his blood together. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your precious blood. We thank you for your precious body. We thank you that we get to eat that body, drink that blood. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the real food and the real drink. Amen? Aren't you glad? I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Amen. So it's real simple. When it comes to how we're supposed to feed them, we know that physically, the physical food that we can give them many different types of foods, ways to take care of and meet the physical needs of those who are starving and hungry for physical food. But when it comes to the spiritual food, there's only one thing we can give them, and that's Jesus, right? Thank you, Lord. We praise you, and Lord, may we continue to feed more and more on you ourselves, and may we take to those who are lost, the lost sheep around us that are so starving and hungry and dying and in drought, have no way, no idea of really how to be set free or feed themselves spiritually. May we take to them a steady diet of Jesus. Just Jesus, Jesus, and more of you, Jesus, because you're the only one who can truly satisfy them with the food and drink, which endures to everlasting life. So we give you thanks for this day, and we praise you, and we look forward. We say we love you, Jesus, and we will feed your lambs, tend your sheep, and we will feed the sheep in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's worship the Lord.